for where we are at now, we've reached Jamie Levin. He's a Middle East expert and an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
What do you make of the events that have unfolded over the weekend?
That it's a massive escalation in a long simmering conflict. On April 1st, you mentioned the attack that Israel made against an Iranian diplomatic compound in Syria. They killed General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, who is a senior commander in the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. He was more or less the commander of Iran's shadow war against Israel through its proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah. The much-anticipated Iranian response came. It came on Saturday when Iran seized a civilian cargo ship, and it did so in the Straits of Hormuz, which is a major global shipping lane. It then sent 185 drones, likely similar drones that Iran has furnished to Russia in its war against Ukraine, 36 cruise missiles, and 110 surface-to-surface missiles, including ballistic missiles. This was a staggering counterattack, and yet it mostly failed. Iran scored very few direct hits. It managed to grievously wound a seven-year-old Bedouin girl. This was the first test of Israel's Arrow air defense system. That's the big brother of the Iron Dome system. And Israel's allies, Jordan, the UK, and the US, all came to its aid. In the end, Israel claims that it intercepted 99% of the threats launched against it. So if this was the Iranian response that was meant to save face domestically or to project power internationally and to deter Israel, it failed.
What response, if any, are you expecting from Israel?
Well, I think what we've seen here is that the red lines that have been established between Iran and Israel in this long simmering conflict have been shattered. Israel has had certain red lines, and Iran has had certain modes of responding, and those have been broken. Israel has always acted to prevent certain types of weapons from reaching Iranian proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah. It has acted to prevent the Iranian Revolutionary Guards from establishing a foothold directly on its territory, on the borders of Lebanon and Syria. And most notably, it's acted to disrupt the Iranian nuclear program. And to this end, Israel has mostly used sabotage and assassinated mid-level management in Iran. This has kept the conflict at a low simmer and the two enemies at a safe distance. The change here, the assassination of a high-ranking Iranian official on the one hand, and the massive escalation, the massive counterattack by Iran directly against Israel rather than using its proxies, this signals a pretty major escalation. The conflict, of course, has also drawn in other actors, most notably the U.S., the U.K., and Jordan. Now, Iran considers the attack over, but there are those in Israel who are seeing the red lines being broken and are calling now for an answer to it. In other words, to bring the war directly to Iran.
Iran's leadership has said that this attack was the extent of its retaliation for the suspected Israeli bombing of its embassy in Syria. How far will that go towards de-escalating tensions with Israel?
Very little. I think there's. I think the international community has an interest in putting the genie back in the bottle, in keeping this to a weekend conflict. But there are, of course, those in Israel who are seeing the red lines being smashed and suggesting that if they've been broken once, they will be broken again, and thus Israel must respond and must respond directly against both Iran and Iran's proxies. And here I'm thinking about Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Gaza.
The U.S. and U.K. both participated in Israel's defense against the drone strike. What role do you see international partners playing in a potentially wider conflict?
So they did. of course, the chorus of international criticism in Israel's handling of the war in Gaza. What we've seen is that the international community's interests were aligned with Israel. They would sooner defend Israel and engage in protecting its sovereignty than see this conflict widened. So what we saw on the one hand over the weekend was a militarized response, and then what we saw later Sunday was a diplomatic response. The United Nations has convened the G7 met, and they've issued calls. The G7 has issued a call for restraint. They are asking Israel to take the victory. Biden said over the weekend that this was a win and that Israel should take it, but they must follow up these words with something more, something to incentivize Israel from seeing this change as something that needs to be answered.
G7 leaders gathered Sunday to coordinate a diplomatic response. What did they, particularly Canada, have to say?
So, yeah, this is the response that I was referring to. And the United States has taken the lead there. What they are calling for is they are, of course, condemning what they see. They share the view with Israel that Iran's response was a massive escalation that changes the grammar of this conflict and in a way could threaten to see it spiral out of control. They've condemned those actions but are asking Israel to restrain itself in terms of a counterattack. Now, talk is cheap. If Israel is going to restrain itself, it needs to be given reasons why. And I think the G7 has the tools to do so. The United Nations does as well, but the United Nations is often stymied by the veto powers of China and Russia. The G7 has the ability to amp up sanctions against Iran for what the G7 and Israel both see as a massive escalation. So what I'll be watching in the coming days is to see whether the international community, whether Canada sees this as provocative enough to issuing increased sanctions against Iran.
Jamie, that's all the time I have for you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Jamie Levin is a Middle East expert and an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University.